Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing, and we limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35, through chapter 10, verse 23. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to the councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about what it means to be the church when we're not able to worship together the last few months. This is our 13th Sunday worshiping away from our sanctuary in Earle. It was a decision that was not an easy one to make and continues to be an anguishing decision on a weekly basis as we all want to be together again, to break bread together, to sing together and worship together. And on the surface, it seems so weird for a pastor and a church board to recommend against worshiping together, to shut the church down, if you will. While there remains so much information that is unknown or ever-changing when it comes to COVID-19, we feel confident that these are the right decisions until we have a better understanding of what safe is. It's not always comfortable being a leader in something, especially when it goes against the grain, but we are doing what is best to protect each other nonetheless, and that can be celebrated. However, even if we haven't worshiped in person, we have continued to worship. But we've also had to find ways to be in ministry that we haven't had to think about or just haven't thought about before. I believe our generous congregation has learned how to become even more generous. Our prayerful congregation has become more prayerful, and our loving congregation has become more loving. Those actions tend to underscore the idea that the church isn't a building, but a loving and grace-filled movement. It is an interesting time in society. There are Christians who run from the term evangelical or evangelism. There are Christians who flock to those terms, but then live out those terms in the exact opposite meaning of them. They are words that have been hijacked over the years, and now they become confusing to many. The word evangelism comes from a Greek word that means good news or to share good news. That's it. And today's scripture reading is Jesus' description of evangelism. He tells his disciples how to evangelize and thus tells us how to as well. I know when I hear the word evangelize, I go right to this image in my mind when I used to walk the streets in downtown Chicago. There was always a group of individuals shouting at people to accept Jesus and shouting at everyone who passed by the reasons that they were going to HE double hockey sticks. Likely many of us have similar images in our heads. That is not real evangelizing, as there really was no good news being shared in those situations. What is the church to be about? In today's gospel passage from Matthew, we learn that the church is to be about healing, teaching, and proclaiming the good news. From the very beginning of the reading, Jesus himself is doing these things and finding himself facing crowds in desperate need. His heart is moved to compassion for them, possibly one of the most beautiful phrases that reoccurs in the Gospels. The passage from Matthew read earlier this morning is not a stagnant message. It sort of moves all over the place, just as the church is called to be as it lives out its mission. Notice that Jesus didn't tell his followers to go out, create and build church buildings, and gather in those fixed locations on a weekly basis to be the church and follow him. Jesus sent them and told them to go. Reverend Catherine Matthews said, "According to the feel of this reading, then, the church is to be in motion, not dwelling in a static stay-at-home, preserve our level of comfort and let them come to us spirituality, but embarking on a bold going out into the world that God loves so passionately, sharing what God has given us with those who have not yet heard God speaking to them or felt the touch of God's love upon their lives or have not known how to name either one." How do we come to that conclusion? Jesus didn't sit still, but traveled about, curing and teaching and healing, bringing that good news to the poor. And when he saw the hunger and need and confusion of the crowds in today's reading, he felt that profound compassion for them. Jesus both moved and was moved. We too are called to see the need of the world, its hungers and confusion, and like Jesus, we are called to be moved with compassion and to respond with tender care. And we are called not to sit still, but like Jesus, to be on the move, open to those we meet along the way. This has powerful implications for how we see our ministry. It's tempting for us in the church to see its reason for being in meeting the needs of those of us who pay our way, perhaps like members of a private club. Obviously, it is important that we come together. When we come together, we worship, we learn, we have community. But what happens in those times? Being together allows us to organize outreach ministries. Outreach ministries. These ministries are collective missions of compassion and justice and witness. We celebrate so many joyous occasions in our churches and mourn together when sorrow overwhelms us. No wonder we think of our beloved building, these wonderful gatherings, as our church home. And there's nothing wrong with that, because as a group, we learn about and move toward ministries that exist outside of our walls. Today's gospel reading impels us to interact with the world beyond our walls, right in our own neighborhood or in places far away, places which our compassion can reach, even though we may never physically go there ourselves. Ironically, our present situation, sheltering at home from the pandemic, self-isolating, has provoked a lively conversation about reopening the churches, which have now been declared essential, as if anyone gets to make that determination. Whoop-de-doo. Yes, the church is essential to many people. But as we are learning, opening a building and gathering together is not what defines us as a church. Rather, it is who and how we are the church out in the world, even if we have to exercise our call and our ministry across the heartbreaking distance prescribed, for now, by public health experts. In our safe distancing, we are protecting and prioritizing the most vulnerable in our midst, a core gospel imperative. Perhaps we need to reflect on how much we are willing to sacrifice for the sake of those others. It's hard to go without Sunday worship in person, in community, no doubt. It is truly a sacrifice seen in this light. And still, worship is being held in creative ways. Teaching is being done. The good news is being shared. Frontline workers every single day are performing amazing works of healing and tender care. Their efforts are ministry too. Food banks and justice efforts continue with amazing generosity and support from congregations. And community is happening too, thanks to technology. Namakagan UCC is a church that works for environmental justice. We've declared it and we do it. And one of the things we can be grateful during this time is that we've decreased our energy consumption in our building and decreased our carbon footprint during this time by not driving to church from a distance every week. And being so close to the Namakagan River, we are making a real difference in this moment. It's 2020. In the nearly 2,000 years since the beginning of the church, it has survived through plague, pandemic, war, persecution, and natural disasters. And today, church happens in small and most unexpected ways. Today, when we learn of someone who has been lost to or has lost someone to COVID-19, we feel that sorrow and pain is partly our own. And likewise, when we learn of someone or become more aware of the racial injustices that occur in today's world, we feel that pain and sorrow for those who experience it. We search our hearts for how we've been complacent in this system for so long, and we seek out ways to end the injustice found all around us. I love to read things that writer Anne Lamott shares. And recently she shared her thoughts on the strife and sorrow following the death of George Floyd in the midst of our social isolation and the demonstrations and violence that have erupted. And her recent post began, "I wish I had my Sunday school kids today. During the devastation of the pandemic and the terrifying images of murder and protest, I would tell that I am lost too. But from the wise old pinnacle of my years, I would assure them that we can trust God no matter how things look and how long things take. The pain inside us and right in front of us is nothing compared to the power of love that surrounds us." And then she preaches a little sermon on Psalm 61. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And with her words, someone we've likely never met, who lives hundreds or thousands of miles away, becomes the church for those who will read and listen to her words. As we sit at our homes, or at least keep our distance from each other, the blessings of wisdom and learning come to us, even when it's difficult and painful to hear. The bishop-elect of the Episcopal Church in the Diocese of Missouri, Dion Johnson, puts it this way: "The work of the church is essential. The work of caring for the lonely, the marginalized, and the oppressed is essential. The work of speaking truth to power and seeking justice is essential. The work of being a loving, liberating, and life-giving presence in the world is essential. The work of welcoming the stranger, the refugee, and the undocumented is essential. The work of reconciliation and healing and caring is essential. The church does not need to open because the church never closed. We who make up the body of Christ, the church, love God and our neighbors and ourselves so much that we will stay away from our buildings until it is safe. We are the church. The image of sheep without a shepherd in this gospel text calls us to reach out into the world, to see all of God's children as precious and loved and deserving of our attention, energy, resources, and care. The tender image of sheep without a shepherd bluntly speaks of a world that is looking to the church, to people of faith with questions and doubts and real human needs. So what is evangelism, and why did I bring that up at the beginning of this message? It is literally sharing the good news, and you might be asking yourself, what is the good news? You might be asking, is there anything to share these days? How do we share good news when everything seems to be so glum, so painful, so sad, so difficult? Thomas Long says that any notion that the church ought to quit getting involved in non-spiritual matters and get back to its real job of preaching the gospel and saving souls totally misses the point. Preaching the gospel and saving souls means grappling with disease and the demonic, with social segregation and the powers of death. It means, therefore, wrestling with issues of public health care, with racial and social alienation, with the powers of domination and oppression that bleed the life out of a community. Does that jive with your thought of the word evangelism? Evangelism isn't standing on a busy street corner shouting at people about everything they're doing wrong, all of the evils that they represent. Evangelism is the recognition of the lows people are experiencing and sharing with them the good news that the gospel compels. St. Francis of Assisi is often quoted as saying, "Preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words." What Thomas Long and St. Francis of Assisi insist is that preaching isn't necessarily evangelizing, but our response to people's needs, the actions we take, the compassion we show, that is true evangelizing. One of the problems we face today is that everything has become so polarizingly politicized that we have difficulties working together. If we don't agree, then the other person is an evil idiot. But look at the early disciples. We had Matthew the tax collector and Simon. They would have been on opposite sides of the Roman controversy. Matthew, a tool of the empire, a tax collector for the Roman Empire, and Simon, a passionate revolutionary who opposed it. However, they both found their lives transformed by their encounter with Jesus, and they went out and shared the love of Christ and their experience all over for the same purpose. Perhaps if we heed the words of today's gospel, we can find ourselves working alongside a least expected human being, working toward the same goals of care, grace, compassion, and love. And in the United Church of Christ, we believe that we are working toward a just world for all. That's you, your friend, your enemy, your neighbor, and even someone you may never, ever meet. That is what we are called to do and whom we are called to be. From the members of the Namekagon UCC in Earle, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider visiting the United Church of Christ. A just world for all.